Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships. Hello everyone, welcome to episode 104 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We're going to be continuing our inappropriate behaviour series today, but before we do that, I just want to plug the guide a little bit. It's coming up to Christmas. We think it's a fantastic gift to buy for yourself or for your partner. We'd say it's the resource we wish we had when we were doing long distance, don't we? It's
yes.
Got everything from date ideas to dealing with the people in your life who don't understand why you're going to be long distance. So, you know, one of the things I suppose that every long distance couple has is people saying, yeah, it's never going to work out, long distance doesn't work, it's not possible, they're cheating on you, why would you want to do that, why can't you find someone close to home? Yeah, we deal with all that, we deal with telling your family and your friends, date ideas, communication, how to make things flourish while you're apart. And it's all the way through to, if you're not comfortable with sending nudes, you know, how to handle that. If you are comfortable, then it's not a problem. Through to watching films together, things you can do. I think we did gifts you can make each other too. And then all the way through to closing the distance, doing that visa process, and what it's like once you have closed the distance, once you're starting a home together for the first time, because we sort of dove into that head first and thought this is going to be great. You're so focused on the distance and closing the distance, you kind of, it's easy to overlook the magnitude of that next step, and then suddenly you're in it and it's massive and you have to just deal with it. So we've put our lessons in there on that, on what to expect, how to deal with it, how to create a really strong foundation really from which your future can flourish. So you can find that on our website under the resources tab, so longdistancetomarriage.com. Under the resources tab, it's called The Ultimate Guide to Long Distance Relationships. If you haven't got it, now's the time. It's ridiculously cheap too. Really cheap.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself. So that said, once you've gone and bought that, you can listen to this episode, and we'll be talking about inappropriate behaviours. More specifically this week, we're going to be talking about how involved your friend, family and parents in particular should be in your relationship. So do you want to bring this in?
I do, but first I just want to touch on something, kind of taking a step slightly before we dive into the actual episode. You mentioned Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat, I don't know the rest of the rhyme, but there was a cool update you saw on Instagram.
Oh, I did, yeah. So, I mean, I update my apps really infrequently, so this may have been out for
because
6 weeks.
Because you, let's explain to them what you love to see.
I like to try and get the number as high as possible on my
you
app
like,
store.
Like, when you go into App Store, he wants to get, not just as high as possible, you want to get to 100.
I've surpassed 100 now, but I've uninstalled some apps. I don't know how many I've got on there. But yeah, I just can't bother with all the updates. But what I saw today for Instagram was they've rolled out new features for the Messenger. And one of them is being able to watch and share TV shows and movies with other people. So,
is that through Netflix or?
I haven't updated it. I just saw the description. I don't know, but it's through Messenger in it. So I guess it's quite private rather than being a public post. But you know, this is the topic that, or the question that comes up a lot from people who are apart is, you know, how do we watch things together? There are a couple of apps. We mentioned this in our guide too, and I think, you know, what a lot of people do is end up being on video call and just push and play at the same time. But you know, this could be a good alternative to that. So if you're not already using it, if you're not aware of it, go get the new Instagram update, and hopefully it helps.
Yeah, we thought kind of coming into Christmas or other holidays that you might be celebrating this time of year, it might be helpful to be able to watch a nice festive film together, or
Christmas porn.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, of course it's a thing.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You have?
I've not watched it. I've seen it exist.
Mm. They wear Santa hats?
Yeah. That's basically what Christmas porn is, I think. Santa hats.
Next to a tree?
Next to a tree.
Okay. That sounds festive.
Yeah.
The dangers of mistletoe, I guess. What it can lead to. Yeah, so we just wanted to throw that out there that, you know, if you're looking for ways to feel closer this year while you potentially can't be together, check that out. See if it's of any use to the two of you. But yes, diving into this week's episode, so we have talked a bit about you know, sharing your problems with your family and how much is too much to say and who should you talk to if you're having issues or you just need some advice when it comes to your relationship.
And I think we've also touched on sharing too much at the detriment of your relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really going to be focusing today.
Yes, not just sharing though, but also breaking away from your kind of the family structure that you grew up with, whatever that was like, and really making sure that your new family, so your partner, if you have children, you know, then them, but if you're not there yet or you're not going to have children, you and your partner, really, we just want to highlight that that is your family and that should be your priority. And there might be some awkward situations or conversations where you have to kind of, this might not be the right word, but you might feel that you have to rebel or put your parents on the back burner or something like that. Just essentially, it's making sure that your partner and what you guys have chosen for your new life is the priority. And actually, you've had those conversations with your partner. So to dive in, I think the first thing to touch on is that it can be really weird, you know, moving in with someone new, starting your life together. We've talked about this a lot. We struggled with this. You both came from specific backgrounds where things were done a certain way and you're trying to merge this into a new household. So that in itself can be just a tricky time, but that's normal. That comes with it. You'll figure it out. You'll find your routines. You'll find, you know, if you remember ours, like how often the towels are folded and put away, like, you know, what things are going to look like. But when you bring in the mix of family, so that might be the opinions of your parents. It might be, brothers and sisters that always need money. When you introduce complex family things, and then you've dedicated yourself, even just moving in with someone or getting engaged or getting married, the way you deal with your family is going to have to change a little bit. And that's not to say that your new partner should come in and say, like, fuck this, I don't like this, like, your family's stupid, this is how I do things. No, there's going to be compromise, but you have to prioritize how they feel. So in that instance, if you've been loaning money to a sibling who's, you know, down and out or a bit of a deadbeat, for lack of a nicer term, the way your partner feels about that needs to be considered if you have joint finances.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, what it comes down to is when you get in, this doesn't start with marriage as any long-term serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a paradigm shift. And the people that really struggle with this the most are the people who've had, you know, the close family background. And this isn't about saying you can't be close anymore.
No.
But it's about finding, one, the barrier, and two, showing the respect to your partner of, okay, what things are no longer appropriate to talk about. Because, you know, let's say, you know, everyone argues, right? Every relationship will have arguments. And that's okay to mention to your family, like, oh yeah, you know, when we argue, this is what we do, or whatever. You know, so you mention it in passing. The inappropriate side of that is whenever an argument happens, you run to them, and you start, you know, giving them all the details of it. You start making them feel that your partner, you know, isn't good enough for you. Because that's where families will default to, is, oh, you know, so-and-so wouldn't treat you this way, or they should be responding in this way. And, you know, this was the conversations we used to have, especially when you're long distance, is it's entirely likely and probable that one family won't know one partner very well. Right, like for you moved here, so there's an awful lot of people your side who didn't know me nearly as well as my family knew you. So if you were to go back and talk to them about all our problems, they're only hearing the negative. So they're only hearing about problems, or if we're having arguments, or if things aren't going too well, or if we've got disagreements. They're only getting a picture of, well, this is terrible. And then the things they say to you in response are going to be guided by that, rather than people who know you really well. And we say, well, you know, but we see all the good stuff, or this is what you need to do, you know, this is how you need to talk to that person in particular. There's just so much information missing from that conversation. And you have to remember that when you start going back and telling everything to these people, whoever they are, friends or family, you're feeding them an impression of your partner, and never a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. And by having those conversations that maybe you're divulging too much on the negative side, you're not prioritizing your new path with your partner. You're running home. Now, there's going to be times when maybe you need to. If something really bad happens, you know, your family's, you know, your maybe your protocol, your safe port, whatever, safe harbor? Mm. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. But coming back, like, on the inappropriateness of it all, I think we're very much of the opinion that, you know, you should be your partner's biggest champion, and what people hear you say about them should be overwhelmingly positive. Not to say that, like, oh yeah, sometimes we annoy each other, or, you know, like, that's fine, little subtle details to the right people.
You want them to know it's still a real relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I mean, my friend will send me, like, oh my god, my husband comes in and puts his socks on the kitchen table, drives me nuts. And I'll say, oh yeah, Rich can't put a dish in the dishwasher to save his life some days. Like, that's fine. You're with people who are in the same situation with you. They're your friends. They know your partner. You're allowed to have little grievances that you chuckle over. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, rather than talking something out with your partner and working through it, you run away to a sibling, your best friend, your parents, and kind of try and work it out with them. Like, that should never be your first option.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we want to labour this point too much because we have spoken about it before, but it's so important, and probably more so for younger people, but certainly not exclusively. We know people who are our age and older than us who just never really seem to grasp the boundaries with parents when it comes to, you know, when it comes to things like arguments that you've had with your partner.
Decisions you're making with your partner.
But that needs to be resolved with your partner. And you need to think, like, you know, maybe there are some rare scenarios where you can say, look, you know, you'd say to your parents that you've been through this very similar thing. Like, what advice have you got?
Yeah.
What most people do is go there and bitch about it.
Yeah.
Because what parents often tend to do is console. They say, oh, there, you know, yeah, of course you're fine. Like, it wasn't your fault at all. And they may genuinely believe that, one, because they've only heard your point of view, which you've given a positive slant to yourself on. Or, you know, so it's quite a parental thing to do, to say, you know, well, don't settle for anything that you're not 100% happy with, and it's not always realistic. But how do you think it makes your partner feel if you leave the house or you have this argument, the first thing you do is pick up the phone to your parents and start complaining about them? You know, potentially they're the mother, father to your child. This is the person that you married or you expressed that you want to marry. The first sign of any bump in the road and you're running off to your parents, how do you think it makes them feel? It's not prioritizing the relationship. It's making your parents think that you're not able to deal with these things as an adult. It's making them think that you've chosen someone who's making you unhappy. Like, there's just no positive to come from this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's inappropriate in every level. Now, it's not to say you can't ask for advice. It's not to say you can't ask for guidance. Like, of course you can. But the best time to do that probably isn't in the immediate aftermath.
When you're upset, yeah.
We've got episodes and I agree, and I suppose a quick recap would be to say if we have arguments, because you used to do this and it was understandable because you didn't have anyone here you could talk to, so you had no choice but to get on the phone if you wanted to talk to someone. So I understood it, but we had calm conversations where I'd say, look, I really don't like that you do this because these are people who don't know me.
They knew you, but...
Not all of them. And to different degrees. Your parents knew me. Your brother and sister, like, you know, a couple of your friends didn't really know me. So they'd hear these problems and, you know, so I'd just say to you that I wasn't too comfortable with that because you're forming this reputation of me to them.
It does require...
And you said, you know, you hadn't thought about it that way and it's... And you don't do it anymore. And we've moved on from that. But what we do when we have these arguments now is we've got into our groove. Sometimes that means giving space. Sometimes we can talk about it really quickly, but we resolve it. That, I think, is the best they've gone around it. Then perhaps you can go and talk to people for advice and say, you know, we had this really weird argument the other day about this topic. You know, we resolved it now, it's fine, but you've gone through that, haven't you? Like, how do you handle things? Like, you know, you can seek advice. So it's not that you can't talk to anyone. It's when you do it and what you're saying. If you're going there just to complain and get, like, and feel vindicated, that's a problem.
Yeah,
if you go in there when you're calm to say, can I have some advice on this? That's okay.
Yeah, so there's two points I really want to touch on there, and they both tie back to really you need to be self-aware and you need to do some kind of examining of why you're doing these things if you are, because we all do at times. Not we all do, but a lot of us do. For me, like Rich said early on for us, I didn't really have friends to talk to about it. And I think in a lot of ways, Rich would probably prefer that I didn't need to talk to people about it. But I process things by talking through it. It wasn't that I needed to go back and just talk shit about my husband to my parents or my brother or sister or my best friend. It was that I'm in a new situation. This is really overwhelming. I can't seem to talk to him about it right now because we're just not getting anywhere. We're arguing. I need to talk this out to figure out what's a good solution. What do I actually feel about this? So it was processing that. And also, actually, he really doesn't want me to do this with certain people and he doesn't want me to say certain things. So it's balancing, you know, getting what you need. If you are a person who processes by talking, not just bitching, that's fine. You're allowed to do that, but you need to find a way to do it. Like that Rich needed me to be respectful doing that, and that's fine. So it just takes some working around. The other point, going back to kind of, you know, if you do need to talk to your parents, it's that self-awareness of what kind of relationship do I have with my parents? And, you know, Rich pointed out that some parents might be very, well, my child can never do any wrong. So if there's any kind of struggle, it's blatantly to do with what their partner's doing and how dare they. If you know your parents are like that, be honest with yourself and think, maybe I shouldn't talk to them about this. Or if I do, I frame it very carefully. An example of something that probably is okay to talk about. This is something that happened recently. Rich recently, well, this year, started a new business venture and at first was working, I don't know, 15-hour days sometimes, if not more. And it wasn't anything that we were arguing about, but it was an adjustment for me. It was, you know, a new business venture, so sometimes there's a bit of risk or uncertainty involved around that, so I needed to get my head around that. And also suddenly he was busy all the time. So we weren't arguing about it. It wasn't a problem, but it was just like, oh, this is new. Like, okay, how do I be supportive? How do I deal with this? And just happened to be talking to my dad and just, he asked, oh, you know, how's Rich's stuff going? Is it going well? Da, da, da. Yeah, you know, he's working a lot and I'm trying to get my head around that and be supportive, but it is kind of hard. And it wasn't a bitch fest, but I knew I could talk to my dad. And my dad didn't say, well, you know, he needs to be making sure that my princess has attention at all times. He said, you can't hold anything like that against him. He's trying to start something. Like, you just, whatever needs to be done needs to be done. Oh, I know. I'm not holding it against him. I just, it's something to understand. And yeah, I get that. You got to get used to it, but you can't hold it against him. So I know going to my dad about most things, he's very balanced. He's very practical and he's not about to think that I'm perfect all the time. So I know that I can go to him. My mom's the same way. If I had a parent who said that, well, my princess needs attention all the time, I wouldn't go to that for my partner's sake.
And we're lucky, like, my parents are the same way there.
Yeah.
You know, both of our parents would say...
Very practical.
Yeah, practical. Both of them would say, you know, what needs to be done. But, you know, there are others and who would, you know, maybe there are people who, if you could say, oh, you know, work isn't absolutely perfect, they'd say, well, it needs to be, leave, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not always, it's not all... The heart's in the right place, but it's just not always the most, it's not the most helpful advice because it you know, if you have a kid and you always give them what they want and you always tell them everything's great and if ever they do something wrong and they get upset about it and you say, oh, well, that was the other kid's fault, like, you know, you're not setting them up for success. You're not setting them up to be empathetic. You're not setting them up to be balanced. They're always going to want their own way. They're not going to deal with situations. They're not going to be well-rounded grown-ups when they get there.
I saw a lot of this as a teacher.
And that's all. It's the same thing happening in this context, right? So if your parents are like that, maybe you need to recognize that, yeah, I'm not going to get the right stuff from them. And then in the boundaries of the relationship, no one wants to feel like they're with a child, you know. And that's the big thing here is when we have arguments, it's as adults. And really...
Now it is. It wasn't at first.
But really, when you get right down to it, it's just, this is my opinion, that's your opinion. Even when it comes down to feelings, it can be an opinion of feelings, right? Like, because how you feel and how that other person made you feel isn't necessarily what they wanted to make you feel, right? So we can lose sight really quickly that you made me feel like this, now I'm defensive, and you can lose sight of the fact that it was... not what was intended. Maybe it's unintentional. Maybe you've taken it a different way. Like, it all happens. You know, so an argument is rarely like a deliberate attempt to annoy you and put you in a bad mood. So a lot of this comes down to feelings and subjectivity and opinions. You know, so what you want to deal with that in an adult way, and your partner wants you to deal with that in an adult way. And yeah, that can take time. It can be unpleasant. It can be argumentative. But between the two of you, you resolve it. No one wants to feel like, oh, we've got an argument. I better hold everything in so it doesn't become an argument, because I know they're going to storm off to their parents and then they're going to get all this in the air. I'm going to be made to feel terrible and guilty and whatever. And you want to feel like you're with someone who's mature and sensible and can talk about these things and overcome these things. If you have to involve parents at every step of the way, really, where's the progress coming in? What would about you? God forbid, what happens when those parents aren't around anymore? If that person, or if it's you, has never learned how to cope with this situation, what happens then?
Well, I think that's a really good place to segue into kind of the second part of this and the inappropriateness, and that's respecting your partner's needs and focusing on those more than your parents as you, you know, begin this life together. Because when, you know, we all love our, well, not all of us, but, you know, many people love their parents and hopefully you have a good relationship with them. Not everyone does. But of course you want to make them proud and happy, but, you know, they aren't going to be around someday. And that is why we either move in with people or get married if you're that way inclined. And this is why we start families, because we eventually have to start our own family unit, because that's where life takes us. You know, you don't stay with your family your whole life and they're not always going to be around. So as you're building this family, you know, your protective instincts and your priorities shift to your partner. And if you have children, them too. So I think this is a good time of year to talk about that, because especially, this year, COVID's making stuff crazy. Like in our country, you have to choose. So in England at Christmas, they're allowing you to have two other households that you interact with over, what is it, from the 23rd to the 27th or something. So this has been a bit of there's been a lot of conversation around this for us, because obviously we're here this year. We're not going to America because of COVID. We were supposed to, or we were planning to, but Rich's parents are both, they're divorced and both remarried. So right there, that's our two households. But then of course, Rich has a sister, and then, you know, his stepmom has sons. And so it's been fine. I'm not going to go into the whole logistics of it, but you know, there's a lot to figure out around this time of year is my point. And your partner's feelings, within reason, need to be respected and taken into consideration. So if you have, you know, a parent who is a bit overbearing and really difficult on, or really hard on your partner, you need to be showing that, you know, that's not acceptable and your partner deserves respect in a certain way. You know, if you have children, again, we're not parents, so we're not giving parenting advice, but this is how it could affect you as a couple. That's where we're, you know, focusing on kind of our experience. If you have children together and you're struggling with kind of your parents' opinions of how you raise children, or you're doing things that is against your partner's wishes in relation to your parents, you know, you need to be on the same page about that. And if you're not, you need to talk about it and try to get on the same page. So that might mean, oh, you know, when we know that when little Joey has sugary cereals, he's a nightmare for the next day. So when he stays at your parents, can you please make sure they stop giving him sugary cereal? And, you know, you say, Mom, Dad, can you stop giving Joey sugary cereal? It's like, oh, but we're the grandparents. You know, it's like, not like, yeah, I know, we just won't tell my wife. It's no, it makes our day a nightmare and my wife has to deal with it too. That's a very shallow example, but
yeah, I mean, the thing I always think of in these conversations is, you know, what do your parents want? Okay, you know, when you have kids or when you are a parent, you want them to grow up into being capable adults, don't you? Like, you know, self-sufficient, independent, capable adults. And that's what's going to make them more proud, is seeing you that way. Mm-hmm. Seeing that they can feel proud about the job they've done for you. Doesn't mean you don't need them. Like, parents obviously feel sad if they don't feel needed anymore. But generally speaking, they'd rather see you as, you know, yeah, everything I just said, and in a happy relationship, and if you've got kids, then a good parent.
Well, it's like your dad's speech at your sister's wedding was about, you give your child roots, they have someone to come back to, and they have a good foundation. You give them wings because they need to move on when the time's right.
Yeah, and what parents don't want to see or don't want to feel, especially if you imagine, like, you know, all different grandparents talking to each other, like, and 4 out of 5 of them are going, oh yeah, my kid's this, like, really proud of them. And then there's your parents going, yeah, my kid's awful, like they can't do anything. I get phone calls twice a day because they never learned any skills. They don't want to do anything. Terrible parent. Their kid runs amok.
But I think some family units aren't like that. I think some families like that their 35-year-old child is still phoning them like up every day. So that's where the issue comes in. And that is an issue because
then you've got to, you have to recognize their issue and the impact of it on you. But you know, generally speaking, on the whole, I think parents would be more proud to think, look what a good job I did raising you. It's so nice to see you flourishing as a spouse and as a parent and whatever the context is. Even if it's just within a career, you know, no one really wants to feel they've done a bad job. You know, so when you think about that, do they want to be getting phone calls all the time with you complaining about how incapable you are in your relationship? Probably not. You know, I mean, if they, and maybe some do, like you said, they do exist. Hopefully they're a minority. And even if you're sitting there saying, yeah, that's my parents, don't feel smug about that. You feel like, you know, it's not appropriate they feel that way. And I'll do what I can to sort of be strong anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And have a better relationship anyway. I realise the toxicity of what that does to my relationship. You know, the behaviour that encourages for me is to be oversharing and perhaps undermine my partner. And because you get a sense of security and safety at home, like, you know, you get your parents' validation, like, that always feels good. Oh, yeah, great. But if you're doing that at the expense of a happy marriage or effective parenting, as good as it feels, and, you know, it's really important you stamp that out and say, as good as that feels, it's not right. You know, like any bad habit, you know.
Yeah.
If you smoke 40 a day, you think, yeah, this feels great, but I probably shouldn't be doing it.
I don't think 40 a day would feel great. But no, it's going to require some boundaries to, you know, it might be because of you. If you know that you're running home or you think your partner's running home or whatever it is, but you need to set that boundary. Like, that's my family and they are my past and I love them and they're part of my life now too.
Well, they have to be your past.
And part of my life now too.
Right.
But the way you lived with them and the way you grew up with them and the way you relied on them then, that has to be your past. It has to change as you grow up and have a family. And, you know, if your partner doesn't like the way your parents talk to them, that needs to be addressed. And you can't, you know, so-and-so said she just thinks you're really mean and you know, I'm not sure. It's like, look, like you have to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's an evolutionary cycle, you know, for all of us. So how you are when you're 5 and your parents treat you that way, then they treat you differently when you're 12 and when you're 15, and then when you're 30, you know, if you're the same person at 30 as you're at 15, there's a big problem there.
But there's a problem too with going behind your partner's back against their wishes when it comes to family stuff.
Yeah.
So that might be talking about things, like we've been focusing on that a lot. You know, things that you maybe wouldn't want them to know. It could be, you know what, this year for Christmas, I really just want it to be us. Or this year, you know, we haven't spent Christmas with my family in a really long time, so I'd like to do that this year. And then letting the other family bulldoze it. Like, oh no, you spend Christmas with us. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable, it's going to be awkward at times, but it has to be done. I mean, not for every family. Some families are pretty laid back, and it's fine, whatever you want to do. But, you know, you have to back your partner, and your parents have to understand that I married this person, I'm raise, you know, starting a life, maybe raising children with this person. So this is my priority now, and you guys are going to have to understand that.
Yeah, for sure. And that comes back to being that capable adult, is saying this is the way things are. We want you to get on board, but it's up to you if you do or don't.
Yeah, really. But I think the problem is when it comes to those families, like I said, where they like maybe that their child is still kind of, well, I don't know, under the wing or whatever. I don't know what the term is. Thinking of chickens and, you know, babies under the wing. So, you know,
thumb?
No, not under the thumb, like being controlled. I just mean what, apron strings. You guys have a saying?
Yeah, yeah.
What is that saying?
Tied to the apron strings?
Haven't cut the apron strings?
Yeah, well, it's something like that. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, but basically just means like you haven't really left the fold of your mother's bosom.
You're basically still acting more like a child than a adult. And your relationship with your parents should change. They'll still be your parents. They'll still be the people you always go to for advice and help and everything else. That doesn't need to change. But there becomes a subtle shift between when you act like a child with them rather than being their child. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference in being a child and being their offspring. You know?
Yeah.
And that's that distinction, I think, is if you're still acting like their baby and you go there for coddling, then that's different to them thinking, yeah, you know, I've done a really good job raising you, I'm very proud of you, I'm here if you need me,
mm-hmm.
financially, emotionally, whatever, you know, we're here if you need, because that's what parents are for, but they want to feel like, you know, yeah, you've got your own family now.
You can deal. But the whole reason we feel that this is inappropriate, just to kind of wind this down it's harmful to your relationship. And if your partner feels that you're constantly putting your parents or your siblings or your family above them, sometimes you have to, and that's fine. If, you know, if your family needs you and you have to cancel date night because it's an emergency, like, that's okay. Like,
yeah, of course.
Or if it's just, you know, my mom's having a really bad time, or, you know.
Yeah, they're still important.
Yeah, and they should be. But if, you know, when it's coming to choices and decisions, your partner feels like their wants and needs are second rate, or that their family is second rate, or that what they've asked of you to communicate to your family isn't being done, that's just a recipe for disaster, and it's going to have a bad, bad effect in the long run. I'm not going to say it could be divorce. It could just be resentment. It could mean that your partner's never going to get along with your family.
Yeah, the upshot of this is nothing good will come from it.
Yeah.
You're going to cause problems at home. You yourself are never, as you said, cutting the apron strings. You know, like I touched on before, when the time comes when those parents aren't around anymore, if you've not learned the lessons of how you deal with things without first running to them, you're going to be in all sorts of hurt at that time, because you're going to have, like, you know, the obvious hurt of losing them and all that grief, but you're also then going to be thinking, like, oh my god, I've not got that resource there anymore, and I haven't learned how to deal with it. You know, your partner's just going to feel really unhappy, because we're quite content. If we have any disagreement or an argument, we know it'll be resolved by us pretty quick, and on we go. Not that we'll ever get mentioned to our parents or family, but we'll deal with it. It's a very, very different situation if you're sitting there thinking, oh shit, now she's going to go and talk to her parents and they're going to think I'm a real dick, and, you know, that's going to have all this influence, and I have to wait for you to finish giving them your side of events before we can resolve this. Like, I'm never going to feel great about that, and likewise, vice versa, you wouldn't feel great about that. You'd be like, who have I married here? Why can't you deal with this on your own? It's going to cause additional arguments. Yes, so the bottom line is, nothing good comes from it for anyone, for your parents, for you, for your partner. So it's not like you can say, on balance, you know, there's a case to be made for it. There isn't. It's inexcusable, it's inappropriate. Stop doing it. If it's something that you really struggle with, you know, if you think, I don't know how I can stop doing it, well, if you're able to say that, then you've identified it, and yeah, maybe it will be a slow process, but start that process.
Yeah, and, you know, the more you put into your relationship, the more rewarding and fulfilled and long-term it's going to be. So it's right that you should protect that and not put it on a pedestal, but, you know, make it your kind of, all I know is that where we are now, and it's, you know, we're further along in our relationship, we've been married 9 and a bit years, but every decision we make that's big, or even if it's not big, but we know it could impact us, we think about how it affects us as a unit.
Mm.
So as little as, like, doing good at our job, working really hard, I don't just do that because I have a work ethic, which I do, and I feel strongly about it, but also I know, well, if I work really hard, then I'm more likely to get advanced and get more opportunities and get a pay rise, which then benefits us as a couple financially. I know that if my family has a good opinion of my partner, then they are happy for me. They respect us as a couple. They respect my husband and the decisions that he makes. You know, so you just have to think of all these things you want to do, or these things you want to say, or how you prioritize things, and think about what that's going to do for you in the long term. Because again, your family is your past and your present, and your partner is your present and your future. So think about where you're going and these decisions and these actions that you're taking and making. What's that doing to that future vision? If you're constantly sweeping what your partner wants under the rug and it doesn't matter, where's that? There's no future there.
Yeah, you made a really good point there too about your parents being happy for you. Look, the other thing here is, going back to what I said before about no good coming from this, you could probably be causing a lot of stress for your parents. You know, they'll be sitting up at night worrying, thinking, why aren't you in a happy relationship? You know, worrying for you. And that's not something anyone really wants to do for their parents, I would have thought. So, you know, think about it from their point of view too. But just going back slightly to dealing with this yourself, you know, if the thing for you is you feel like you need to vent and just get it all out, and you need to break away from running to your parents or your best friend and releasing everything, maybe try writing it down. Just go and write it. That old trick, isn't it, about, like, write a letter to the person. You haven't even got to show it to them, but you can get it out, or start a voice note on your phone and just pretend you're having a conversation. Like, and just, you can still get it out. You'll still get that same feeling of release without it being to other people.
But sometimes it is good to show a person that, because I think I've done that a couple times where we just haven't been getting anywhere. We're arguing. Like, it's just the same issue over and over. You know, this hasn't happened in a long time, but it did. And sometimes I thought, okay, if I just write this down, because in the heat of the moment, you know, if you're upset, you're not going to say things the best way. That's okay. Like, it's hard. You know, you might come across as more forceful or rude or snappy, and then your partner is feeling defensive. So they're not going to be in a situation to think, oh, they're telling me what they need. I need to listen here and I need to be mindful of that. So sometimes taking a step back and writing a letter where you're not in the heat of moment, you can erase something and reword it. You can make it exactly what you're trying to say when that's really hard to do, you know, in the heat of the moment. And then when your partner reads it, there's no back and forth. They can just read it. They can stop. They can think. They can digest it. And then they can think about how they come back to you. So sometimes it can just kind of help remove some of the emotions. And sometimes as you're writing it, you might think, oh, wait, you know, maybe I'm being unreasonable a little bit here, or maybe, you know, maybe that wasn't right, me thinking that or saying that.
And the flip side to that too is, if you do write this down, and if you write it down in the immediate aftermath, so when, you know, when you would be talking to your parents, when you're at full anger or hurt, whatever the emotion is, you might write that down, read it back over and think, wow, you know, like, this is overwhelmingly negative.
Yeah.
And you may then realize, this is the information I'm feeding my family about my husband or wife or whoever it is. Like, I'm probably not be happy about that. I wouldn't want to feel that way, that I was making my parents feel bad about you or negative towards you.
I don't think you've ever said anything remotely negative or even venty to your family about me.
No, I haven't. But, you know, so you may look
at that. It makes me feel bad.
But you may read that and think, I feel bad for my partner about this. This isn't accurate. It's true of the situation, but on the whole, this isn't what I want people to think of them. That alone may really be a powerful motivator to change this.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes just seeing things in black and white, you know, written down in front of you, you can't rationalize it away. That's literally written down. This is what I would be saying. And actually, yes, it's true for this 10-minute argument, but it's not a fair representation of our relationship. I'm going to stop this. It's important I stop this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, try that. If you're going to struggle with not running off and actually having the conversations, run upstairs, write it down, read it back over the next morning and think, you know. And if you think it's all true and accurate, then show it to your partner and say, look, this is how I feel.
Yeah, but it just gives you time to look at it. And I think it takes some maturity if you know you're not getting anywhere in the argument and just feelings are getting hurt and nothing's, you know, coming to any kind of conclusion. You say, look, let's take a break. We're not getting anywhere. And that's hard to do. But yeah, kind of bringing it all back together.
Respect your partner.
Yeah, first and foremost. Not that you shouldn't respect your family or your friends or whatever. You know, everyone that, if you've chosen someone to be prominent in your life, or, you know, your family is prominent in your life, you don't really choose them. But, you know, the people that you do choose, like friends, you know, they obviously deserve your respect because you've chosen them. And your family, if you're on good terms, you know, and even if you're not, working towards respect mutually is important. And your partner deserves that, not above all else, but certainly they've got to be your first consideration.
Yeah, you're building something.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't build a sandcastle by repeatedly kicking it down. You give it chances, and you know, you do everything you can to make it strong and you protect it. And that's what you've got to do for a relationship. You have to protect it. Be very selective about the information you give out and the information you seek in, and all of that should be done with the purpose of making it stronger, not making you feel better or making them feel guilty or making you feel like you've won over them.
Yeah, and I think you know, if your family has requests or they're saying stuff or doing stuff, you need to check in with your partner. So, like, obviously this Christmas looks very different, but if you've got, hey, babe, my parents want to come and stay for 2 weeks over the holidays, are you cool with that? And it's like, you know what? No, I'm not. We've got a newborn, you know, COVID, you know, whatever it is. If they're not cool, okay, well, then let's either figure out a compromise or I'm going to have to tell them no. Or it's, yeah, I'm okay with that, but they need to, you know, they need to stay in a hotel. We haven't got room. You know, it just has to be a conversation. It can't be, hey, babe, my kids or my parents are coming to stay.
Deal with it.
For 2 weeks. Deal with it. You're cooking everything. Like, you know.
Yeah.
We had this conversation when we were trying to figure out family arrangements this year about potentially some family coming to us, not to stay, but, you know, for a meal. And, you know, Rachel's like, I'll help cook. I mean, I'll do the cooking if you want, like, you know, whatever you need. But, you know, would you have a problem if they came to us? No, gotta help me for sure. But yeah. So anyways, kind of a messy one in terms of like lots of things to take into consideration. I think we veered off onto like sub topics, but that were related. But yeah, it really comes down to what you just said a minute ago. Respect your partner and their needs before anyone else's. Mm-hmm. But your partner's not always going to be the one that ranks out, I guess. Anyways, have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Mm-hmm.